Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on homeschool right after this. Yeah, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious by now that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions. And now we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and our moral outlook over the past 50 years or so. Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and they advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that Ten Commandment law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that's teaching this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. We don't have to know what the penalty to the law is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, or the Law of God, or the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. Doesn't cost anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, georgegordon.org, and go to the archives page. Well, we've been talking about this thing of home school, and the opposite to home school is public school. Here in the United States, we have three alternatives. The number one choice of Americans is to send their children to the public school system paid for with public tax dollars. It costs about $10,000 per student per year. They spend about 180 days in school, and they spend $10,000 to do that, divided by 180 days. That's $55.55 a day. That's the average. Second choice that we Americans have is a parochial school. You can send them down here to the Catholic school, the Baptist school, the military school, the Advent school. There's all kinds of churches and secular organizations that operate private schools. And these private schools, on average, cost us about $2,500 a year, about one-fourth the amount of money that it takes to educate a child in public school is what we're spending on private school. And if you want to measure up their performance, the public school educates children to the 50th percentile, and the parochial schools hit the 80th percentile. The third choice we have is called home school. It's a relatively recent innovation. It used to be the norm in this country until 1900, and then it fell into disfavor until about 1980. It costs $550 a year, about one-tenth what it costs, less than that, one-twentieth of what it costs to educate a child in public school. And the average student will score at the 86th percentile. Vast difference. And they tell us that the more money we spend, the smarter our kids will become. Well, it's the opposite of, well, the reason that our kids aren't learning is because we're not spending enough money. And so the politicians and the public school administrators say, more money, more money, more money. We give them more money, more money, and more money, and dumber the children become, and the poorer and poorer are the test scores. Well, I've got 60 complaints. 60 things that I see that are wrong with the public schools that aren't going to be changed anytime soon, if ever, not in the public school system. In this battle between communism and the Bible or the Ten Commandments, communism has won hands down. If there was ever a battle between the forces of communism and the forces of the Western world, the communists have won. The war is over, and they have sold us all 10 planks to their communist manifesto. We have not sold them a single one of our Bill of Rights, not a single one of our 10 Commandments do you see in force and effect in China or Russia. But you see all 10 planks to their communist manifesto at work and in our public schools and on Main Street, in our government. So, it's past tense, and we don't need to be concerned about if we don't do this, that, or another thing, or vote for the right guy, the communists are going to win. They've already won. So now the question is, well, what do we want to do about it? Do we want to submit and let them dictate and direct our education and our thoughts and our thinking processes, or do we want to resist and educate ourselves and break away from these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto? I decided to take the latter course of action. Now, what's wrong with our public schools? Well, number one, they're anti-God. That's the first biggest problem that we have. Secondly, they are anti-prayer. Third, the public school is anti-Ten Commandments. Number four, the public school is amoral. Number five, the public school is, in fact, immoral. Number six, it costs twice as much as private school. It costs 10 times more than homeschool. It graduates students who cannot read. Public school employs incompetent teachers. Public school employs sodomites as teachers. Public school teaches our children communism. Public school teaches our children socialism. The public school teaches our children abortion. Public school teaches our children sodomy. Public school teaches our children fornication. Public school teaches our children whoredom. Public school teaches our children witchcraft. Public school teaches the 7 things that God hates in Proverbs. Public school teaches is a place for rape, robbery, bombings, murder, arson, burglary, vandalism, extortion, drugs, venereal disease. It's a place for abortion. It teaches evolution. Public school teaches crime in the form of the census. It teaches crime in the form of vaccinations. It teaches crime in the form of public education. It teaches crime in the form of income tax. It teaches crime in the form of Social Security. It teaches crime in the form of insurance. It teaches crime in the form of usury and banking. It teaches crime in the form of unjust weights and balances. It teaches crime in the form of home mortgages. It teaches crime in the form of credit cards. Public school teaches crime in the form of checking accounts. Public school teaches crime in the form of bank loans. It teaches crime in the forms of consumer credit. And it teaches crime in the form of automobile loans. Every one of those boys and girls is a violation of the Ten Commandments in the Scripture. For instance, the census, vaccinations, public education, income tax, social security, insurance, usury and banking, unjust weights and balances, home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, and auto loans are all violations of the Ten Commandments and the law of God, every one of them. And that's where you go to learn, public school. The public school is a place where children carry weapons. It's a place for teen pregnancy. It's a place where children fear for their safety. It's a place where teachers fear for their safety. It's a place with no absolutes. It's a place with no rights or wrongs. It's a place of mediocrity at best. It's a place of underachievement. It's a place of ignorance. It stimulates suicide. It stimulates alcohol abuse. It stimulates gangs and gang wars. It's a place of declining academic standards. It inflates student grade point averages. It turns out students who can't qualify for entry-level jobs. And there is no aspect of public education worth emulating. So said the Japanese back in the 1980s. They came over here, spent 2 years. God knows how many dollars, looked at all the public school system of America. Went from the big schools to the little schools, went back to Japan, wrote up a report and said, we could not find one, not one, single aspect in American education that we would want to emulate in Japan. That was their conclusion. So the Japanese totally rejected it. The only people in the world that think it's good are the Americans. And I'm not sure that the average Joe Sixpack American knows what the hell's going on in his public school. Now, public schools cost 10 times as much as homeschool. They have totally expunged God from the classroom. The public school has totally expunged prayer from the classroom. Public school has totally expunged morality from the classroom. And public school has taken the Ten Commandments from the classroom. And they have removed premarital sexual abstinence from the classroom. They teach premarital sex is good for adolescents. The public school furnishes condoms for students in the public school. The public school encourages fornication. The public school furnishes abortions for pregnant students. The public school encourages sexual relations among adolescents. Public schools employ pedophiles and sodomites as teachers. They teach evolution in place of special creation. They teach communism in place of our Constitution. They teach socialism in place of our Bill of Rights. And it costs twice as much as private school. They carry out shooting drills twice a year. The number one problem in public school is rape. The second biggest problem is robbery, and number three is assault. Top three problems in public school: rape, robbery, and assault. Followed by burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, absenteeism, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, premarital pregnancies, abortions, and venereal disease. 17 top problems in public school today. Let me read them to you again. 17 things. The biggest problem that you have in public school: rape, robbery, and assault, in that order. Then burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, absenteeism, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, pregnancies, abortions, and venereal disease. Now, surveys and statistics show 40% of students fear for their safety in public school. Surveys and statistics show 30% of the students have carried weapons to school at one time or another. That's one-third of the student body, one-third of the students in your public school have in the past or are now carrying weapons in your public school. Going on, he says, surveys and statistics show 40% of the students have been the victims of robbery, assault, or larceny at public school. 4 children out of 10 have been the victims of robbery, assault, or larceny. Surveys and statistics show 50% of teachers have been victims of robbery, assault, or larceny at public schools. So a teacher is more likely to be robbed, assaulted, or stolen from than the average student by 10 percentage points. Public schools are the scene of 5,200 high school teachers who are physically attacked each month, with 20% requiring medical treatment. Did you get that? Here in the United States, 5,200 high school teachers are physically attacked every month, and 20% of those require medical treatment. Our public schools have abolished absolutes and fixed rights and wrongs. Our public schools have altered every aspect of morality, behavior, and achievement. Our public schools, their achievement scores have been declining since 1963, while private school achievement scores have been increasing. Public schools graduate more than 1 million functionally illiterate children every year. That's right. 1 million high school graduates graduate every year from our high schools who cannot read. Now, we used to have a literacy problem in the United States, and they'd say, well, this guy's illiterate. We need to send him to school. These are people, boys and girls, who have been through the process and can't read. They went through the look-say process. They can't read. In public schools, 25% of students cannot identify the country that borders the United States on the south. Public school, United States of America. 1 out of 4 can't identify Mexico bordering Texas on the south. In public schools, 39% of the students cannot name the 6 New England states. And the 39% of the students who were asked that question live in the New England states. And that's just special. In public schools, 45% of those tested could not respond to this instruction correctly on the attached map, shade in the area where the United States is located. So when our children are shown a map of the world, nearly half of them cannot find the United States and shade it in. In public schools, when they were asked to identify the 2 largest states in the United States, 50% could not name Texas and Alaska. In our public schools, 80% of the students cannot name the 2 smallest states in the United States. That's Delaware and Rhode Island. In our public schools, half of the students could not place World War I between 1900 and 1950. Can you believe that? World War I. Half the students couldn't place the time when it occurred from 1914 to 18. Hell, they couldn't place it between 1900 and 1950. In public schools, 67% of the students, 2 out of 3, do not know when the Civil War took place. In our public schools, 75% of the students are unable to say within 20 years as to when Abraham Lincoln was President of the United States. In public school, 20% of the students could not identify George Washington as the commander of the colonial forces during the Revolution. That's one in five didn't know that. In public school, 33% of the students do not know that Lincoln was the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. That's one out of three. In our public schools, 50% of the students failed to recognize Patrick Henry as the man who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." In public school in the United States, 1 out of 3, 33%, do not know that the Declaration of Independence signaled the American colonists' break with England. In our public schools, 1/2 the students, 50%, could not say even approximately when the Constitution was written. And in our public schools, we employ incompetent teachers, as is evidenced by the statistics above. Now think about that. Now the public school system is a tremendous success. I mean, it has succeeded in their goal beyond their wildest expectations. When these people took this system over back in the 1830s, they said, "We want to take over the public school system." And they replaced it now with the German rational system. They had a goal. They had their ambitions. They exceeded those ambitions. And they have totally communized the United States. We are a nation that practices 100% of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And if you ask Americans, "Do you practice communism?" every one of them would say, "No, I don't." They do it and don't even know it. That's how ignorant we are. Ignorance is the new standard of excellence in America. In fact, if you're ignorant and dumb, you're looked up to. That's good. Boys and girls, those aren't the standards of great nations. Those are not the standards of the United States of America that I was born into and raised in. It's what we've degenerated into with guidance, with direction. And the crazy part of it is that Americans haven't recognized it to this moment in time. We don't even know what's happened to us. We're complaining now. I see more and more complaints. More and more people are saying, "I just don't understand what's going on around us. Why does the government do that? Why is the government bailing out Goldman Sachs and Bank of America? How come they're not stimulating jobs out here where Joe Sixpack can go to work in the morning with his lunch bucket and put some pipes together?" I haven't got a clue. The secret societies are beyond Americans' grasp or comprehension. The problem lies in the public school system. We're not being educated. We're not being taught and trained. And the people who are in control of the public school system have created a system that is perfect from their point of view. They're not going to change it. They are going to resist change. They are in control. I wouldn't waste my time trying to reform the Washington, D.C. public schools. They hired a woman up there, a Korean woman, if you'll remember. She's been in the news. I think they fired her here recently. I think they canned her. She was making some inroads. She was actually making some progress there. I mean, if you left that woman alone, she could turn that thing around. But they wouldn't leave her alone, and they fired her. At least the last time I heard, I'm pretty sure I think they fired her. Same thing down in New Orleans. The powers that be do not want the public school system reformed. They want the planks of the Communist Manifesto taught. They don't want the Ten Commandments. They want immorality. They want teen pregnancy. They want ignorance. They want gang warfare, and they've got it, and they've succeeded. They have destroyed the educational system of America. They've destroyed the morality of Americans. That was the goal. To destroy the nation, you destroy the morality. Now it's just a matter of time until the breach of contract is going to be vindicated by our God, live and direct. personally. They couldn't destroy us, but our God can, and our God will, and he said so very plainly. Now write this down. It's in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Write those two down. That's the penal clause to the contract. Here's three more. You look at Revelation 6, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Those four chapters go together. Jesus' disciples said, hey, tell us what's going to happen over here. And he did. He said, sit down, boys, let me explain this to you. And he said, here's what's going to happen. Here's the way this is coming down. And it is. So we don't need to be concerned now about who you're going to vote for to prevent this malaise from occurring. That had to have been done back in the 1870s and 80s. Once they got the snowball rolling downhill, about 1900, there was no stopping it. And so now this is the result that we got. This result is going to end up very poorly. Very poorly. And you can see that right now with the world's economy, and particularly here in the United States. Our unemployment rate's now 28%. They're telling us it's 10, but they lie to us a lot. Now, why don't you spend homeschool, or why don't you take homeschool versus public school and solve the problem? There's a modality for doing that. We don't have to succumb to the public school morass. We could rise above that. And in fact, if we're going to survive this and come out on the other side, we're going to have to overcome this public school morass. There's a lot of death and destruction coming with the destruction of the nation. When nations go into national captivity, there's a lot of bloodshed that comes down. And in Ezekiel, there's a story about this. Ezekiel was told to take one third, cut his hair off, and take a third of it, a third of it, and a third of it. And then it goes on to explain that that one third over there is going into is going to be destroyed by war. One third is going to be destroyed by famine and disease, and then one third is going into national captivity. Okay, the book of Ezekiel is written to the United States of America. Ezekiel, just pick up Ezekiel and start reading, and then put into your mind this is the United States of America, and that's what's coming down the pike for us. And while you're at it, you Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders, you remember that the nuclear umbrella that we hold over you, that's the only thing that keeps the Chinese from eating your lunch. And they're going to be into your paper bag here very shortly. So get ready for that. Let me give you a reminder here that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD program. It's a package. Be sure to order yours by calling and asking for it. Now, the number is 417-273-4967. Once again, that's 417-273-4967. 49-67. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD right there in the privacy of your own home. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, let's take a look here then at some things that we could do constructively to solve our problem. $546 a year in addition to your regular property taxes will educate one child in your home school. I mentioned this to you the other day. I'll do it again. Cigarettes are about $3.50 here in the States. Well, $3.50 a day times 365 days a year. $3.50 times 365, that's $1,277.50 a year is what you're spending on cigarettes. Now, if you'd quit smoking, you could educate two children in home school to the 86th percentile. Now, for you single moms, I see this on TV every once in a while. They'll show some black woman in Washington, D.C., and she's got a couple, three kids, and I'm just a single mom, and I'm on welfare, and I just don't know what I'm going to do, and, you know. Quit smoking, number one. Quit smoking, and take that money that you're spending on cigarettes anyway, and you can educate two out of those three children right there at home. Now, watch this. You probably have children at different ages. Now, pay attention here. You take the homeschooling program from the child that's the oldest. Well, then, as you progress along, can't you use that same program that you taught your oldest kid, say he's 12 years old, can't you give that to the next kid or the next kid down the line when he turns 10 or 12? You know, pretty soon, the fact that you've got two, three, four children over here, and you got one that's 12 and one that's 10, one that's 8 and one that's 6. Well, then, pretty soon, as the 6-year-old gets up to third grade, and then the 8-year-old, you know, that's in third grade, gets up to fifth grade, you know, every one of the programs that you're buying for the oldest kid, and he's going to use it, is then used for the next one down, the next one down, and the next one down. So doesn't it, in effect, cost nothing the next year for the kid that's coming up behind? You know, it doesn't take too much in the way of thought here to figure this out. It's kind of like handing down clothes, you know, when you've got children, like I had five, and then when our oldest boy would outgrow something, the shirt or the pants, you know, they were still good, but, you know, he couldn't wear them because he's too big. So my wife, she'd pass those down to the next one and then to the next one till they wore out. And, of course, the young ones, well, I have to wear these hand-me-downs. And the only people concerned about hand-me-downs are the people that go to public school. So in the final analysis, when we're talking about the public school system, the peer pressure in public school says that, God, I've got to have the same style or the same clothes that the rest of the kids are wearing. I remember when I was a kid in school, I'd have Pendleton shirts and Levi's with Windsor shoes, Windsor boots. Well, it was what everybody else. That was the peer pressure. And when you're at home, what the hell difference does it make? It's nobody's making fun of you because you're wearing somebody else's shirt. The same thing is true with the hand-me-downs from the schools that you're buying. Now, here's what your expense is. You got to go out and buy a computer. Boys and girls, there are computers being thrown away. We've got three or four right here at the law school. Just junk. We've used them until some new model comes along. And then the new model comes along, and my boy says, well, this old piece of trash over here is so slow, I don't want to use it anymore. I can remember in 1983, we bought our first computer. It was $5,000. $5,000. It was an Apple something or other with a daisy wheel printer. God, we thought that thing was the greatest thing since sliced white bread. It would type out 135 words a minute. Today it's an antique. If that machine would work and serve our needs in 1983, it'll work and serve our needs today. What in the hell does a 12-year-old kid need with 30 million gigabytes? What the hell is he going to do with it? And so, you know, there's all kinds of cheap computers out there that are all thrown away. I'll bet you can get one for nothing. I'll bet you if you were looking around, you'd find somebody at the computer store say, yeah, we got a bunch of junk over here that's in the garbage. We'll just give it to you, lady, because you need one for your kid. Try it. I'll just bet you that you can get one free. Now, you need the software. Now, that you're going to have to buy. That's what's going to cost you the $546 a year. That's the computer software. And then you buy this stuff and you stick it in the computer, just like putting a phonograph record on the phonograph. Well, you people don't do that anymore. It's like putting a tape, you know, into the VCR. Oh, you don't do that either. Well, it's like putting a DVD into the recording machine, and then you're going to play it on your TV. That's all you're going to do there. You stick the thing in, and then it'll take over from there. You don't have to be very smart. I'm not very smart. And then I could teach my daughter, by God, you can teach yours. That's how simple that is. Now, we bought that thing. Our girl, she just loved it. She thought that was the greatest thing since sliced white bread. And she didn't work over 2 or 3 hours a day, if that. And she was out in the woods doing all kinds of stuff. Smart as a whip. I told you the other day, she scored a 12.5. They tested her over at the Lutie School. They thought they wanted her over there every test day so that they could boost the school's test scores. They wanted one girl in there could boost the whole school's test scores. That's how good she was. All right, now you can do the same thing, and it doesn't cost any more than quit smoking. Put God back into your child's classroom. Put prayer back into your child's life and classroom. Put morality back in your child's classroom. You're a Mormon in Salt Lake City. Put morality into your child's classroom in your home. Take them out of the immoral classroom down the street. Now, teach your child that sex belongs in marriage. It does not belong in the back seat of a car. And then furnish your child with moral guidance in a home school in place of condoms in public school. Stop furnishing your children with condoms at taxpayer expense. Explain to them. Marriage belongs, or sex belongs in marriage. Number 8, furnish your child a good moral environment in your home, school, and place of an abortion. And teach your children responsibility and responsible behavior in place of sexual relations among adolescents. They call that sex education in public school. Now listen, sex education's fine, and your children need to be educated to sex and sexual functions and reproduction. I don't deny it. But teaching 14-year-old girls to be, how is it that they worded that? To be open. Open. Spread your legs, girls. With boys and have sex at an early age, it'll help you in marriage. That's what they're telling you. It'll help you get knocked up. It'll help get you knocked out of school. And it'll help you be on welfare and in poverty for the rest of your life. That's what free sex does in public school. Wake up and smell the coffee here, kids. Number 10, teach your own children in your own home school your morals and your values. And stop employing pedophiles and sodomites to teach your children their morals and their values. Now, if you're a sodomite or a pedophile, well, and obviously you're going to teach your children your values and your morals. Just leave them in the public school. They'll learn it right there at taxpayer expense and save you the $546 a year. But for the rest of us out here, teach your children your morals, your standards. Now, why don't you try teaching the Constitution to your children in place of communism? Why don't you teach the science of the Bible in place of evolutionary fairy tales to your children? And if you want to get the best possible source of information, there's two of them. I recommend both of them, but you can get one or the other. There's a guy by the name of Kent Hovind, and I think his website is Dr. Dino. Dr. Dino. I don't know how many tapes it is, but it's a bunch, 15, 20 maybe. And then there's a second guy by the name of Carl Baugh. Carl Baugh. I would teach Kent Hovind to my children 12 years and under, and Carl Baugh to my children 13 and older. I think Carl Baugh, that's called the Creation Evidences Museum, Glen Rose, Texas. Look them up on the web. They've got some videos out, videotapes, probably DVDs, lots of books on the subject. Those guys can tell you exactly how Genesis 1 and 2 fits into the laws of thermodynamics and disprove every evolutionary fairy tale that they've dreamed up so far. And do it scientifically. And use their own words and explain to you, here's what the guy's telling you, here's what science tells us, here's what the answer is. It supports the Bible in every way. Now, if you're an evolutionist, the last thing you want is to go to Carl Baugh or Dr. Dino. They're going to make you look like you're stupid. You're going to feel so bad when you look at those discs over there and say, how in the hell could I have been so dumb for so long? That's what I did. When I saw them, I said, oh my God, I can't believe I've been this dumb for this long. All right, now those are the two right there. Now teach your children in your own home school your morals and values. Teach them real science from the Bible instead of fairy tales. Teach the Constitution to your children in place of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Number 13, teach your child the Bill of Rights instead of socialism. Put the 10 Commandments into your home school classroom and throw the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto out. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't teach my children the 10 planks. I think that's a valuable educational lesson. But show them both sides. You see, in public school, they've thrown the Bible and the 10 Commandments out. That's not education. They have replaced education. That is to compare the two, the 10 Commandments and the 10 planks. with indoctrination. That is, we throw the Bible and the Ten Commandments out, and we teach the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. But we don't teach both sides. Go ahead, teach both sides, but you're only going to do that in homeschool. That isn't going to happen in public school. They don't allow it. It's censored. The Bible and the Ten Commandments are censored. Public schools practice censorship and book burning. Go into public school, see if you can find a Bible or the Ten Commandments. Now, if you don't want to educate a child, don't have one. If you don't want to educate your children, then don't have children. Why would you expect me to educate your kid? Or put another way, why should I expect you to educate my kid? Why should you take your time, your life, your money, and your effort to educate my child? That's selfish in the extreme. That's why I say if you don't want to educate your kid, then don't have one. If you have a child that you don't want to educate, then put the child in private school. And at least do something constructive for the kid. Now, number 17. Follow these 16 steps and your home school will have none of these problems. Now, here's what the problems are in public school. Rape, robbery, and assault in that order. Followed by burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, absenteeism, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, teen pregnancy, abortion, and VD. And those are the 17 top problems in public school. You won't have a one of those in your home school. Number 18, you know, 40% of children fear for their safety in public schools. You can eliminate that fear with your own home school. There aren't any rape, robbery, assault, burglar, arson, bombings, murder, and suicide going on in your home, is there? Now, you can put a stop to your children carrying weapons to school in your own home school, can't you? Or put another way, why don't you teach your children how to use a gun in your own home school? Why don't you teach the kind of responsibility that everybody should and used to learn in this country? When I was a kid, every 12-year-old kid had a .22. Every father was teaching his child how to use a gun, a knife, an axe. For crying out loud. Those are tools. Why shouldn't 12, 13, 14-year-old boys and girls, for that matter, why shouldn't a girl learn how to shoot? I taught my daughter, took her down to the valley, taught her how to shoot starting at about age 6 or 8. You know, she couldn't get the stock up to her shoulder. She'd have to put it underneath her arm, rest it, you know, on a table, and take the table down there. By the time that girl was 12, 14 years old, she's a crack shot. She can shoot squirrels and rabbits and armadillos and deer, you know. And by the time she's 12, 13 years old, she's pretty damn accomplished, you know, with a gun. And I don't see any reason why girls can't learn to use a gun. My wife learned to use a gun when she was a kid. You can put a stop to your children carrying weapons to school in your own home school by training them in firearms and firearm safety. Number 20, no, your child will never again be one of that 40% of students who have been through or been the victims of robbery, assault, or larceny in the public school by just eliminating it. Take them out of it. You can eliminate the robbery, larceny, and assault on teachers by yourself in your own home school. And you can single-handedly stop all physical attacks on teachers in your own home school. And you can reestablish absolutes. You can teach right and wrong in your home school. And you too, after every aspect of morality, you too can alter every aspect of morality, behavior, and achievement in your own home school. you can raise your child's achievement scores, which have been declining in public schools since 1963. Set a goal of graduating at least one literate child from your home school in place of the 1 million illiterate children that are graduated from our public schools every year. 1 million students a year graduate from our public schools illiterate. Teach your child that Mexico borders the United States on the south. Teach your child the names of the 6 New England states. That's Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, and New Hampshire, coupled with Maine. It's a wild new idea. All you got to do is to get a map, for crying out loud. You can go down to a truck stop and buy a road map of the United States. I think they're about $6. Go down to Walmart. Get one of those Rand McNally Atlas of the United States. For $10 or less, for crying out loud. You don't have to have maps that pull down and blackboards and all that crap. A $10 map. Throw it on the kitchen table. Here's a map of the United States. Let's have some drills here. Our objective is to learn the 50 states. Let's see if we can learn these 50 states. Here's the 6 New England states. Here's the 11 southern states. Here's the 13 western states. Here's the 13 midwestern states. Come on, guys. You know, we can do that. And then, you know, can you find Washington, D.C.? Can you find the state capitals? They put them on there with a star. And when I was a kid, I think by fifth grade, you had to know all the states and all their capitals. At least by the seventh grade. Seventh. Bare minimum. And then all of a sudden now, you know, well, where is North Dakota? It's here in the Midwest, borders on Canada. Right here in the middle. Put your finger on it. One of those rectangular states. Now, in contrast to the 45% of public school children, teach your child the shape of the United States on a map and have him color it in. Teach your child that Texas and Alaska are the two largest states in the Union. And while you're at it, teach your children that all 50 states in the Union. That'll help your child get into college more than sex education in class. If you teach your child the 50 states and the 50 state capitals over here, he'll stand a better chance of getting into Harvard than knowing how to split lines of Coke or put on a condom. Number 32, you know, 80% of public school students can't tell you the names of the two smallest states. Well, they're Rhode Island with 1,026 square miles and Delaware with 2,057 square miles. You know, every one of these states has so many square miles in it. And there are several states that have over 100,000 square miles in them. You know, like Texas has 236,000 square miles. Montana, 114,000. California, 158,000. Those numbers are on those maps. And then they've got the counties in there, too. You know, you can count the counties. 236 in Texas, 58 in California, 14 in Nevada. See, as you go through here, there's just all kinds of information that are on those maps, like a Rand McNally road map. And pretty soon your kids say, well, gee, I wonder how many counties there are in the United States. And you'll start counting those up. Pretty soon you'll say, my God, Dad, did you know there's 3,576 counties in the United States of America? No, I didn't know that. See? Children want to learn. And if you throw the tool in front of them and give them a challenge, they'll come up with all kinds of information. They'll want to bedazzle you at the dinner table and tell you what they've been learning, what they've been doing today. Hey, I know all of the western states and all of their state capitals. I know what the population of the major cities of California are, things like that. That's what gets them into Harvard in college, not rolling a reefer with one hand or laying the neighbor good in the back of the back seat of the car. That doesn't help you get into college. Doesn't help you get a job. It's not where the real world is. It's where all the fun and excitement is, and I don't deny it. But that isn't where success is located. Backseat of your car is not where success is located. Number 33, 67% of public school students cannot tell you when the Civil War took place. Well, it was between 1861 and 1865. And that little piece of information will place your homeschooled child in the top one-third of the nation's history students. Did you know that? Now, you know, there's a few more facts that this kid ought to know beside the date of the Civil War. But, hey, listen, these school programs that I'm telling you about over here, they've got the DVD or the CD, comes right up on the computer and runs through all that information. And your kid will sit there in front of that TV screen. He will absorb, literally absorb, all that information. Instead of playing Pokemon, he will be playing these various, same thing as a game. You know, what are the populations of state capitals like Sacramento or Dover, Delaware? And they'll start reciting that back. Our children all did. They'd get on that computer and they'd play their school games just like, you know, your kids are over here playing these dumb games that teach them nothing. Our children would be over here doing their schoolwork and then coming up with all kinds of neat information, neat questions. By the way, Abraham Lincoln was president during that same 5 years, from 1861 to 65. 75% of public school students didn't know that either. Didn't know Abraham Lincoln was president from 1861 to 65. And while you're talking about Abraham Lincoln, you know, he was the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. 33% of public school students didn't know that either. Your kid's going to know that. He's going to get it right there on his computer screen. And it's like playing, these school programs are like playing games. In fact, they are games. It's information. And as they're learning this information, picking it up, instead of memorizing useless baseball statistics, like how many home runs or stolen bases did Babe Ruth have in a given year, your child will start quoting things like, how many people live in Sacramento, California? And what was the population of New York in 1790? The kinds of information that when this kid goes to college or takes an aptitude test or goes in to fill out a job interview form, he can answer questions on there. And when he's talking to some prospective employer, he's got something instructive or constructive to say to the employer during the interview. Hey, we're starting to run out of time here, so let me wrap this up over here. You know, great minds do not come from mediocrity. Public schools hold the greatest pool of mediocre minds in the nation. The intelligentsia of America today do not educate their children in public school. Homeschool is private tutoring. Paul the Apostle studied law at the feet of Gamaliel. That's called private tutoring. And the people that have perverted our public school system, you know, the big names like Kennedy, Clinton, Gore, they don't educate their children in public school. They educate their children in parochial or homeschool. Hey, I'm about out of time here. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, around the world, in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Hey, I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.